It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
How are you going today, Jamie Lee?
Kelly, nice to talk to you again.
I know, it's been a couple of weeks. Must have been a busy week.
Like
busy couple of weeks for you.
It was, but you had Erica last week. Erica's pretty awesome.
We did. She was awesome. She was great. A new MP. So as the senior whip, you were probably showing her around?
Oh, yeah, I've been working with all the new MPs. We've got 10 new ones. Erica's one of our five in the northern region. And look, she's going to do a great job. And she enjoyed talking to you.
She did. That's good. I'm glad she wasn't too frightened by us.
No, you didn't scare off. I'll be back if you want.
So we'll move straight into chatting about the parliamentary prayer, which has been sort of a topic of contention recently, as Trevor Mallard sort of exercised his leadership right, I suppose, and changed the prayer that is said at the beginning of Parliament, which you wrote a letter about and sort of in representation of the National Caucus in opposition to. Is that correct?
Interesting that you called it his leadership right. The Speaker works on behalf of Parliament, and in the past when there's been an issue like the prayer that's said at the start of Parliament that's been considered, Speakers have consulted with MPs, asked them what they thought before they went ahead and did anything. And Trevor just decided to go ahead and make the changes all by himself. He consulted himself on what the changes should be and just went ahead with it. And then asked the MPs afterwards what they thought of it. The National Party's position is that we think there should have been good consultation. A large group in our caucus felt quite strongly about the retaining Jesus and retaining the Queen in the prayer. We're a diverse group of MPs and there's a range of views, of course, but that's the case within the whole Parliament. As a group, though, as a caucus, we felt very strongly that there should have been consultation first. It's part of the Parliament's tradition and history, and if you're going to make changes to those things, you should talk to people first. That's basically what it was about.
Yeah, in terms of sort of the representation, I suppose, because I think that's kind of a big thing that people that I've talked to are sort of angry about, is that there isn't perhaps, or wasn't in the previous prayer, a vast range of representation in terms of, you know, talking a mention of the treaty or honouring the Treaty of Waitangi or maybe other religions. Do you think that we need to see, instead of just getting rid of altogether, you know, the mention of Jesus and the mention of the Queen, but maybe be more incorporating in the different religions and the multicultural kind of generation that we're in now?
I think you're right. There's a large number of issues that could be considered and should be considered. New Zealand in 2017 is very different from what it was 30 or 40 years ago, and times do change. But if changes are going to be made to something like this, which for many, many people is very significant and important to them, those changes should be made after a series of consultation and after MPs had actually been asked what they thought. We felt it was wrong and inappropriate to just walk into Parliament on day one, stand up, read the prayer in Te Reo, which is New Zealand's national language, and it's the right thing that Te Reo should be used in the Parliament. But I think it was cynically used in this case to mask the changes, because we wouldn't have picked them up straight away, right there and then on the spot. Trevor should have talked to MPs first. That's the point. And these issues that you're talking about are very valid and should be discussed, but they should be discussed before any changes are made. And that's been our position.
Yeah, fair enough. Just another kind of interesting point. Do you think that the removal of the Queen as, you know, as a mention at the beginning is maybe a sign of the new government's kind of position? Do you think they're looking, I mean, because the Queen is still our head of state, do you think that's a sort of new position that they might be taking, or maybe just a direction that they're moving towards in terms of New Zealand as maybe more independent?
Could well be. I'm not sure that the Speaker discussed even the changes with the Labour Party caucus before he went ahead. But it is true that Labour governments in the past have tried to move towards republicanism. But again, I'd say if we're going to have that conversation as a country, let's do it openly, let's do it properly. Let's not try and do it behind through a back door. With regards to the Queen and the prayer, the current the Queen is the monarch of New Zealand. She is the Queen of New Zealand. Our caucus felt strongly that there should be discussion with the MPs before any changes like that are made.
Right.
Evidently, it appears Trevor Mallard has decided to put the Queen back in the prayer, or he hasn't told MPs this. We've just read about it in the newspaper, which again is an interesting way of doing things. But it appears he's accepted that point of view. I think, though, if the current government, the new government, was to move towards making New Zealand a republic, they'd have quite a difficult challenge on their hands, and they'd have to do so through a thorough process of talking to New Zealanders, having a conversation, as Jacinda Ardern would describe it.
Right on. Moving on to the proposed fuel tax that Labor is talking about legislating for next year, where Aucklanders would pay an extra 10 cents per litre from next July. Obviously, Auckland is quite in need of new infrastructure at this point. So do you think that that is a good way of going about it, putting that regional tax on?
Auckland does need more infrastructure, and more transport infrastructure is important, and we were progressing that. In fact, we had progressed a lot of new transport infrastructure in Auckland in the time we were in government. Our view is that a fuel tax just isn't necessary. The money that a fuel tax would raise, we think the council could find by looking into its own systems and operations and finding efficiencies within that council, which I think many of the current councillors and ratepayers would say is fairly bloated and probably not operating as efficiently as it could be. If you're going to put in place a new tax, I think it's important to have considered, are there other options and alternatives first? And looking at the current council's internal costs, we think is the first port of call. We have been progressing transport infrastructure. I mean, we're funding the City Rail Link. We funded the electrification of rail in Auckland. There were roading projects like Waterview and Victoria Park Tunnel that we were doing. It is possible to do new transport infrastructure without putting in place a new fuel tax.
So in terms of, like you've said, you know, that Stephen Joyce as well is saying that the Auckland Council perhaps needs to look internally at how they can fund the infrastructure themselves. But, you know, specifically what does that mean? Where does National believe that the council can find an extra, you know, $150 million for infrastructure that is, you know, quite desperately needed?
Well, you can drive behaviours within an organisation by incentivising it. If you just allow the Auckland Council to get off the hook by putting in place a new fuel tax, extracting more money from Aucklanders, you're removing the incentive from the Auckland Council to be more efficient and to find the cost savings internally. Basically, the council's saying, we want more money, rather than the government saying, go and find your own efficiencies first before we go and give you a new fuel tax. They're just letting the council off the hook, and they're not expecting the council to go and find those efficiencies. I think ratepayers would expect the government to put in place incentives and put pressure on the council to go and find savings themselves first. And that's the reason why we resisted a fuel tax, because we weren't convinced that the council was operating as efficiently as it could be. Now, it's up to the individual elected representatives on the council to go and find those savings themselves. Globally, we were saying it's important that the council does things better, does things more efficiently before we go and consider a fuel tax. We were funding transport infrastructure, though. It's not a case of you cannot do new transport infrastructure without having a fuel tax in place. That's false and that's misleading.
But do you think $150 million will, you know, is it really possible that the council could find $150 million, which the, you know, fuel tax is supposed to generate?
This is a multi-billion dollar organisation. They have vast means at their disposal. They also have a considerable asset base, which they could make use of if they wanted to. We just don't think Aucklanders should be socked with new taxes simply because the council wants an easy way out. We were progressing lots of infrastructure. We had an Auckland Transport Alignment Project where the government and the council had agreed on new infrastructure and what we felt was affordable. It was affordable. We were progressing it. We were doing well. There's always room for improvement, but you shouldn't just jump towards the tax very easily and very quickly.
In terms of the Manus Island humanitarian crisis that's occurring at the moment, do you think the government needs to do more? Because obviously they've put this offer out on the table, but it's been declined by Australia, and there is a bit of pressure from the Australian government for New Zealand to step away and not do anything. Do you think we need to do more?
I think we've done the right thing by successive prime ministers, and we've had three now, offering to take the 150 refugees from Australia. But we should be respectful of internal processes between Australia and Papua New Guinea. I'm not sure that it's in New Zealand's best interest for a new prime minister to be trying to bully around the Australian prime minister. We've made the offer. Mm. We've done the right thing. There's money on the table. There's the offer of taking refugees on the table. It's up to Australia and Papua New Guinea what they do there, though. And I don't think we should try and wade into disputes within and wade into internal politics within Australia when it's not really our place. We've done what we can, and we're there willing and ready, and National and Labor are on the same page in terms of taking the refugees. But I think it's time to focus on domestic New Zealand issues, because this is consuming a whole lot of time, which I don't think is that helpful for New Zealand.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, Jamie, and hopefully we will hear again from you next week.
You will. Thanks, Kelly.
See ya.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.